Father, help us to understand the bread of life. Help us to understand Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll help us to draw near to you and to partake of the bread of life this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kalila, can you please sit down? Up here. Up here. Thank you, sweetie. So, Jesus has been preaching in Galilee. He has been the man from Galilee. And you can see, you don't have your Bibles there, but if you've been with us for the last month and a half or so, you know that Jesus has been healing lots of people. He's been preaching in the towns around this area in northern Israel called Galilee, around this sea, which is sometimes called the Sea of Galilee and sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias. And because he had been healing people, he was getting lots and lots of followers. And people were wandering around after him. Earlier in chapter 6, we're told that he went around to the other side of the sea, and people were so keen to follow him that they followed him without their lunch, and they stayed with him all day listening to him and watching him heal people and bringing sick people to have them healed. And to the extent that they had nothing to eat, but instead of just sending them away, Jesus showed that he had power to take what was there and to just multiply the bread and the fish to give them food for themselves and their physical bodies. It says that he fed more than 5,000 men, and there were probably women and children with them as well, so maybe even 15,000 people. Now, after Jesus had fed 15,000 people, basically out of nothing, just five loaves and two small fish, people said to themselves in that Galilean area, they said, "This must be the prophet." You see it in 6:14. They said, "This must be the prophet." God had been promising in the Old Testament that there would be a prophet, a powerful prophet, which would come into the world, who would speak his words, proclaim his own words. And they said, "This must be the prophet. Look, he can do these incredible things. He has taken not only diseases away, but now he can feed us from just virtually nothing." And what they did after they realized, well, we can have virtually no food at all and yet still have full bellies, was they tried to make him king. What we see back there in an earlier part of the chapter, when they tried to make him king, he just escaped from them. He had no interest in being their king. He was the man from Galilee and yet the Son of God. He was not going to be their earthly king. Obviously, if you can find someone like that to be your king, that would be a good thing, right? Because if you have a king that can always provide for your needs, that's a pretty good person to have king. But Jesus escaped from them that afternoon. And he left them full over on the other side of the sea. And the following day, and then he went away from them. His disciples were still on that side of the sea, and they got into the boat without him and crossed over to the side where Capernaum was. But in the middle, they almost drowned from a big storm, but Jesus came to them walking on water in the middle of the storm and then took them miraculously to the other side of the sea, to the town of Capernaum. Now, all of these people who had full bellies from Jesus feeding them in the evening, sounds like most of them stayed over the other side of the sea that night, probably because they didn't have time to get back to Capernaum, possibly because they realised, unlike the disciples, that perhaps there was going to be a storm tonight, and they stayed off the Sea of Galilee. And yet when they got up, there's no Jesus and there's no disciples' boats, and they're looking for him. Why are they looking for him? Well, you get these earnest followers who follow Jesus Christ around, and so they get back into their boats and they go to the other side of the sea, to Capernaum, and they find Jesus there, and they say to him, "There you are. When did you come here?" Now, they didn't realise that Jesus had gotten there miraculously. But what they are doing is pursuing Jesus. And they want to be with Jesus a lot. And they want to hear from Jesus a lot. They're following Jesus. And yet, as they're following Jesus, their focus is not actually what Jesus wants them to focus on. You see, Jesus has given them all of these signs. He's given them the healing. He's given them demons being cast out. He's given them bread from nothing. For his disciples, he's also calmed the sea for them and walked on water. He's given them all of these signs. But these signs are meant to be pointing to something. And instead of actually realizing what they're pointing to, they just keep looking at the signs. I remember being in New Zealand, and you get to this wonderful place in the South Island called Lake Tekapo. And from Lake Tekapo, if you look across the lake, there's mountains that come either side, and then way in the distance, probably about 50 k's away, you can actually see Mount Cook on a clear day. Now, because it's not always clear in the South Island of New Zealand, they put a sign there, and they say, Mount Cook is that way. So you look at the sign, okay, it must be that way. Now, the sign is not what you're meant to be looking at. The sign is pointing to Mount Cook, and it would be silly to go down to Lake Tekapo and then to see the sign and say, that's a really nice sign. The sign is pointing to this incredible mountain way off in the distance in this wonderful, picturesque part of the world. And what you're meant to do is you're meant to follow what the sign is pointing to and say, wow, that over there is incredible. Not just the sign. And these people, they had these signs. Now, they were wonderful signs, healing and miracles. But they were meant to be teaching them something. And yet these people were seeking Jesus for some other reasons. Now, that's something we need to keep in mind, because lots of people seek Jesus, and when they seek Jesus, they're not necessarily seeking Jesus for the right reasons. I mean, you're all here tonight, you're all seeking Jesus in some way, but are you actually seeking Jesus for the right reasons? And three times in this passage that we've just read, Jesus tries to refocus these people who are seeking him and try and make them focus not just on the signs, but on what the signs are actually pointing to. They were pointing at him as the Saviour. So we're going to look at three occasions where Jesus says, you're not looking in the right spot, and refocuses them. The first occasion is here, at the beginning, where they've all gone and they've found Jesus. And then it gives you a little clue in verse 22 as to what they were focused on. It says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there. In verse 23, it talks about, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Everyone had sort of hung around this place where Jesus had given them bread the day before. And then when Jesus isn't there, it's kind of like, maybe there's not going to be any bread today if we don't find Jesus. And then they go and they seek Jesus. And Jesus knows it when they come to find him, because they say to him, Rabbi, teacher, when did you come here? Down in verse 25. And he says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me. You keep running after me. Not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. They weren't actually following the sign to where it pointed, to what it said about Jesus. They just liked the fact that they had been fed. Perhaps they would like to be fed again. So they're focused on what they can get out of Jesus here and now. They wanted to see Jesus again, but what they wanted was to just get what they could from Jesus. I guess that's a challenge to us. It's a challenge because we're all here and we're all seeking Jesus, but I guess the question is, are you here seeking Jesus in the hope that Jesus is going to give you something? Are you here seeking Jesus because what you want is Jesus to give you, say, good health? Or you want him to give you an easier life? Or you want Jesus to give you a husband? Or you want Jesus to give you a wife? Or you want Jesus to give you power over your own sins? Perhaps you want Jesus to help you to overcome your weaknesses. Perhaps you want Jesus to give you power over some devils which have really constrained you in your life in the past. And you're seeking Jesus, but what you want from Jesus is just Jesus to give you something. And that's what you're trying to get out of him. Now, Jesus can give you those things. He can. And Jesus had actually already given many of those things to the people that he was speaking to all of these people who are following him. But to those people who are following him, he says, those things are just signposts. They're signposts which are meant to point to something greater. Verse 27 says, do not labour for the food which perishes. You're still busy thinking about the fact that I gave you bread yesterday. Do not labour for the food which perishes, ordinary old bread, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus is talking about himself. Because the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus looks at these people who've got their focus set on what Jesus can give them, bread, because they had it yesterday. And he says, you're so short-sighted. You're not looking far enough ahead. You're just looking to your next meal. You're just looking to this life. You're just looking to what I can give you now. He says, don't just look for Jesus for me to give you something now. I can give you a life beyond this life. I can give you bread which lasts for eternity. I can give you an everlasting life. Refocus on that. Look at something longer. Look at everlasting life. And don't just focus just on the fact that I can give you everlasting life. Look at actually the person who's offering it to you. He says, the Son of Man will give you this everlasting life because God the Father has set his seal on him. Don't just look at the everlasting life that Jesus can give you. Look at the fact that God himself has set his seal on Jesus. He's stamped it and said, this is the one, this is the way. Look at Jesus, the bread. Was not just meant to be bread for another day. It was meant to show how great Jesus was and the fact that God has set his seal on Jesus and that Jesus can give you something far greater than just good things in this life. Jesus can give you much more than good things in this life. I guess there's another question though, because often, perhaps always, people seek Jesus because of what they can get from Jesus. And yet, that's not really what we're meant to be doing. If Jesus, for instance, didn't give you what you want in this life, if he didn't heal you, or if he didn't give you that good job that you're looking for, if he didn't give you the girlfriend or the boyfriend that you're looking for, would you still be seeking Jesus? Would you still be going after him if he didn't give you those things? Now, God is a good God. Jesus is a good God. And Jesus does give us those things, but not always and not necessarily for each one of us. But every good gift that God gives is just a signpost to point us to the really great gift, which is everlasting life, which is found beyond this life and it's only found through Jesus Christ, who is the great gift giver. So it makes you wonder, are you willing to labour, because this word is used, work, are you willing to work for things which are not just now, but are eternal? Or are you only going to seek Jesus if he gives you everything that you want in this life? Are you only going to seek Jesus if he gives you what you want? Will you seek Jesus, keep following him, if the only thing that he guarantees you is that he will always be with you, even after you die? Will you still seek Jesus if that is the only thing that he guarantees you? He will always be with you, and you with him in heaven. You see, these signs are God's good gifts. And God was giving his good gifts to the people in Galilee. But they're meant to point to a reality. And the reality is not just the good gifts now, but the good gifts which are eternal in heaven. And the good gift of Jesus himself and God in heaven eternally. So Jesus tries to refocus them on the things which are eternal, life eternal, everlasting life. And so they respond. Jesus says, don't labour for the food which perishes, in verse 27, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on them. And then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? That sounds a little bit like the right response. Almost. So what shall we do that we may work the works of God? The thing is, though, they're still focusing on whatever it is that they can do. They're focused on the work. Now, Jesus had said to them, "Go, you need to labour for the food which perishes." But it was not their labour which was actually the main point. These Jews had been taught for many years to be very proud of their own works. And it's kind of like they're saying, oh, I need to do something and then Jesus will give me what I want. That's basically the way that they're responding. Jesus says, there's food which goes on forever. They go, ooh, that sounds good. After all, the last meal, I'm starting to get a bit hungry. There's food which doesn't perish. What shall we do? What work shall we do that we may work the works of God? And then Jesus will give us this food which keeps going. If I do the right stuff, Jesus will give me what he wants. That's basically what they're expecting. They haven't quite got what Jesus is saying. They're not quite listening. They want to please God so that God will give stuff to them still. They want to please God so that God will bless them. But Jesus says to them basically, you don't get God's blessing by doing lots of good works that God approves of. You get God's blessing by believing in Jesus. This is how he refocuses them again. They're focused on the work. All right, got to do some work, and then God will be happy with me. But Jesus says to them in verse 29, this is the work. This is the work of God. You want to go and do stuff? That you may believe in him whom he sent. You want work to do? Start with this. Believe in the one who's actually doing the work. The one who was sent. Believe in Jesus. Because it's Jesus who has the strength. It's Jesus who's got the power. It's Jesus who's got all the goodness. Jesus who does all the work. And what you have to do is to believe in Jesus. He focuses them away from their own sense of putting God in their debt so that God has to give them something, to just believing in him. It's kind of like they wanted to prove themselves to God so that God had to give them something. That's something that we can all be tempted to do. If you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, it's something which is a way that we tend to think. Perhaps in your life, you are trying to prove to God that you're good enough. Perhaps in your life, You're trying to show God that you've done enough. That you've done lots of good things, so really, God should give you good things in response. You've prayed. You've prayed hard. You've prayed constantly. So God should give you that job that you've prayed for. You've trusted God. You've waited for God. Therefore, because you've trusted and you've waited the way God told you to wait, God should give you that girlfriend or that boyfriend that you've been waiting for. You're trying to prove yourself. You've worked hard. Therefore, since you've worked hard, God should give you the good results in your exams or in the workplace that you're in or something like that. You've been kind to other people. And since you've been kind to other people, surely God's got to be good to you in your own life. He's going to give you safety or security or something like that. You've been so faithful to God and trying to do everything that God wants you to do, and so surely God is going to give you healing from that disease that you want to be healed from. But what you're doing by doing that is trying to prove yourself to God so that God is in your debt. So that God has to give you something because you've just been so good. But it doesn't work that way. No, God doesn't owe us anything. In fact, if you focus on what God has already given you, you'll realise just how much you still owe God. We need to refocus. We need to believe in Jesus. Because God sent him. Verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's your work. God has sent Jesus. Believe in him. Because he sent him for your salvation, and that is a work that you're never going to be able to repay. It's interesting the way that they respond after Jesus has tried to refocus them again. He's tried to get them to stop thinking so short-sighted, and yet they still keep thinking in a reasonably short-sighted way. They try to put God in their debt and say, okay, let's do this work. What do you want us to do? Then we can have this eternal bread. And then Jesus said, no, just believe in me. I'm the one that God has sent. And then their reaction is here. It kind of reveals that they're still thinking in this short-sighted type of way, because they refuse to give up on this idea that they can still get some sort of short-term gain out of Jesus. They can get something good from him now. They say in verse 30, something which might seem a little bit strange at first. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? Because Jesus has said, believe in me, God has sent me. They say, okay, what sign will you perform then? Well, hang on. He's already multiplied 5 loaves into two fish into enough food to feed maybe 15,000 people. They've already seen a little bit of a sign. He's already been healing in their presence. So he's already given them a sign. There's a bit more to it than just, okay, we don't quite believe that you're the prophet yet. They're still being really short-sighted. Because have a look at what they said next. What sign are you going to give to us? If you're a prophet, all the prophets used to come with a big sign. Okay, what sign will you show to us? Moses, after all, greatest prophet in the Old Testament, sent by God himself, Moses gave us manna from heaven. Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're still focused on the bread. They're still being so short-sighted. What they want is something good from Jesus now. And so show us a sign. Maybe we'll get more bread out of the sign. Now, Moses in the Old Testament was their leader through the desert, and God did indeed rain manna, that's a type of bread, down from heaven. And if Moses did that in the Old Testament, Jesus, prove yourself, Give us food now, prove it, that we may believe in you. I guess it's worth considering how many times we want Jesus to prove himself to us. Are you determined to make God prove himself to you by your own criteria? You come to God and you say, if you're really God, I will trust you if you do this thing for me now. Because this is basically what they're saying to Jesus. I will trust you if you you do this thing for me right now. I'll trust God if you take away my sickness right now. I'll trust God if you give me that boyfriend or that girlfriend. I'll trust God if he helps me to get through this particular point in life. I'll trust God if he helps me to get that thing, that house, that person, that job, that position that I want so much. I'll trust you, God, if you do this little thing for me, perhaps this big thing for me. Sometimes we can try and make God prove himself according to a little test that we give him. And it's all out of focus. It's still out of focus. It's still short-sighted. Because all we're focusing on is what's in front of our faces. It's the troubles that we find ourselves in, or it's the weakness that we have inside of us, or it's the sickness that we have, or it's what we really want. And it's just about here and now. It's still short-sighted, and it's still not understanding the truth of what God has done and who Jesus really is when we test Jesus that way. I should say, by the way, that sometimes God is generous enough to actually respond in a positive fashion to people who test him that way, but it's not something that we can expect from God. So Jesus said to them, he says, you're still focused wrong. First of all, verse 32, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Don't think that Moses was able to do it by his own power. Get that out of your minds. Okay? It's my Father that actually has the power. My Father. And he gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He gives life to this whole world. Moses didn't have power, and God gives you better things than what you're currently looking for. You're looking for that job, you're looking for this help right now, you're looking for a way out of that pain. God gives better things. He gives life, eternal life. And he gives you what Jesus calls the true bread. The true bread. And they say to him, Lord, verse 34, give us this bread always. What's that true bread that you're talking about? You're talking about stuff that we're finding difficult to understand. Lord, give us this bread always. Maybe some of them had twigged that Jesus is not talking about stuff that we can eat today. Maybe some of them are still thinking, well, everlasting bread sounds good to me. Give us this true bread always. Maybe it's better quality or something like that. And Jesus says to them in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus said, stop thinking about all these short-term things. Come to me for eternal life, because I am the bread of life. What does this mean? Jesus is the bread of life. Now, some 2 years later, Jesus was facing crucifixion. The very next day, his disciples hadn't picked up on it yet. He hadn't been condemned yet, but Jesus knew, because he was the Son of God, that he was being crucified the very next day. And Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples. And as he ate the Passover with his disciples, they had bread and wine. at that Passover supper. And Jesus took up the bread and said this in Luke 22, verse 19. Jesus took bread and broke it and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This bread, which is broken, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is the bread of life, and Jesus is the bread which is broken for us. And that is where real life comes. That is where everlasting life comes. It's not about the next thing in your life, the next stage in your life, the next difficult thing which you need God to help you overcome, which you do need God to help you overcome. It is about everlasting life. And that everlasting life only comes through Jesus' broken body. Jesus' body was broken on the cross. He died. He was nailed to a cross, not for his own sin, but for the sin of all those who believe in him. He was broken so that we could be made whole. He is this bread of life which restores us to all eternity. It doesn't just give us good things now, although we do know that every good thing does come from God, but it's not just about now. Jesus is broken so that we can have eternal life. Jesus' broken body can give you life if you believe in Jesus. So my plea with you is not to be short-sighted. Don't look for all of the gifts which come just now. Don't try and make God prove himself to you by giving you exactly what you want. Don't just look at all the signs, all the good things in your life, and just enjoy the good things. The good things in your life are meant to point to the good gift of Jesus, who is the great giver as well. Look for the reality, not just the signs. Because Jesus was sent by God, and he is the bread of life, and he was broken so that you might be saved. Amen.